Ok. Alors, merci de votre attention. Vous avez l'air encore plus ou moins réveillé. C'est vrai que 2 heures, c'est assez long pour une conférence, moi, je trouve. Et c'est plus long pour vous parce que moi, au moins, je m'amuse. Ok. Now I want to move on then to specific questions, which are sometimes quite complicated. And it's very important not to have a simplistic view of questions like Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. So first of all, identity and conflict is Scotland. And here, for the people who missed it, is the address of my teaching blog, where you can have lots of information, and very often the recording. Not always, but very often the recording. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look first of all at some aspects of Scotland, identity, and then some of the history of Scottish nationalism. Now, normally when I give this course, Scotland is week number 6. But this year, because Scotland is, has been so much on, in the newspapers, I thought we should begin with Scotland. Because there has been this referendum on independence, which is extremely interesting. First of all, the referendum was negotiated. The government in Edinburgh negotiated with the government in London and said, we want to hold a referendum, do you agree? And the government in London said, okay. So this is very different from many movements for independence. Quite often in the 20th century, if you were Algeria, for example, or India, won their independence after a long and very violent struggle. And so in this case, Scotland, or a section of Scotland, wanted to have its independence by a constitutional method. And they almost won, 45% yes, 55% no. It is a historic result. And I will be telling you more about it. This is an independence movement inside a modern industrialized country. You can imagine if Brittany in France, si c'était la Bretagne, c'est pas concevable, mais c'est vaguement similaire. You can imagine that this would be a very controversial political question in France if there was a referendum about Britain, about the independence of Brittany. And a lot of people would be very angry, in fact. And a lot of people in Scotland are very angry. Next, please. Here are a couple of newspaper front pages from a few days ago, just after the referendum, and you can see that both of them say 6 a.m. edition. Normally, if you produce a morning newspaper, you must finish it by 11 o'clock in the evening, because it has to be printed and go all over the country. Yeah? So this is exceptional edition, 6 in the morning. So it probably arrived in the shops around lunchtime. And you have the Sun over there, Union back. It's a play on words, c'est un jeu de mots. Le drapeau s'appelle the Union Jack. There's a Union back. Donc, l'Union est revenue. The Sun is very good at puns, wordplay. No in historic victory, but UK set for shake-up. Donc, le nom a eu une victoire historique, mais le Royaume-Uni va être secoué. Because in the last few days of the campaign, David Cameron and the government in London promised a lot of changes, made a lot of concessions. They were in total panic. So in some ways, the yes movement, from one point of view, maybe they won. They didn't win independence. But they won a lot more than they were expecting. And here, the Daily Mirror. It's no. Great Britain saved. yeah, saved. Yeah, so it's an emotional vocabulary again. After voters in Scotland reject independence. Next, please. If you go back a few days before this, a couple of weeks ago, then here you have some elements of the last stages of the yes and the no campaign. First of all, here you have the front page, I think 2 weeks ago, of Socialist Worker, which is obviously a left-wing newspaper. And they're saying yes, so vote yes. Break the effing Tories' hearts. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, said, if Scotland votes for independence, it will break my heart. Yeah? And so this newspaper says, yes, break his heart. Yeah, vote yes. Yeah, so a very energetic approach. Il y a une autre petite référence là, c'est effing Tories. Alors, effing, c'est un mot qui représente un gros mot. Donc, littéralement, les putains de conservateurs, mais en euphémisme, donc on peut l'écrire. Hein. Donc, effing, c'est pas très, très grossier, mais ça représente un mot qui est très grossier. Mais c'est le Premier ministre qui l'avait dit. Il avait dit, ne votez pas oui simplement pour embêter les putains de conservateurs. C'est le Premier ministre qui a dit ça. Et alors, il cite le Premier ministre, ses propres mots. It's a rather strange situation. And here, the last stages of the no campaign. What is this house? What is the house?
What can I say?
Downing Street, c'est la résidence du Premier ministre anglais. And look at the flag. The Scottish flag. In the last few days of the campaign, David Cameron was so much in a panic that he put the Scottish flag on the British Prime Minister's house to say, you know, we love Scotland. We love Scotland, please do not have independence. Donc, si vous imaginez le drapeau breton sur l'Elysée, it's a historic situation, very, very strange. Yes. Next, please. And again. And here are a few newspapers from the last few days of the campaign, and you can see a certain amount of emotion. Only 10 days left to save Britain. C'est des extraits de beaucoup de journaux différents. And look at this one. Don't let me be last Queen of Scotland. Queen's fear over breakup of Britain. What do you imagine the Queen thought? Was she in favour of independence? No. What do you imagine the Queen said? Nothing. Yeah. No intervention in politics. Yeah. Everybody knew that the Queen was against, and some Conservatives said the Queen must speak. But the Queen, no. The Queen does not make political speeches. Yeah. That's one of the reasons that she is safe, and that people are not wanting to get rid of her, is that she doesn't say anything about anything important. Yeah, it's a safe thing. Next, please. In the last few days, one week before the referendum, parliamentary activities was cancelled as all three party leaders, David Cameron, allegedly conform, Nick Clegg, Liberal Party, Conservative Party, Liberal Party, Labour Party, the three big parties, all of the leaders went to Scotland to campaign, please say no to independence, all three of them together on the same day. So they all worked together. Yeah, c'est comme si vous aviez voilà, Sarkozy, Hollande et Mélenchon qui allaient tous en Bretagne ensemble pour les convaincre. Yeah. Very, very unusual situation. Next, please. Last minute promises were made. Here is the promise. I'm not going to read you the details. Where these three political leaders promise much more autonomy for Scotland. So, the situation today is Scotland has a lot of autonomy. Autonomy is not the same as independence. Autonomy means you have power, and the Scottish Parliament has a lot of power, but they don't have an army. They don't have... The money is controlled by the Bank of England. Yeah, some very big questions are not decided in Edinburgh. So autonomy is not independence. And so they're going to get more autonomy, but not independence. Next, please. So let me spend a little time looking at some important or significant or remarkable things about Scotland. First of all, remember where it is. You can see the line there just under Dumfries. Just under Dumfries, you have the line, Scotland. First of all, notice that it's quite big. Yeah, it's quite big. However, it is much less populated than England. England has 85% of the UK population. And Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland together are 15%. So the population, so I think there are 4 or 5 million Scots and 50 million English, so much smaller. Next, please. Oh, sorry. Yeah, just before that. So there you have Scotland, and you have domination by two big cities, Glasgow, Edinburgh. Glasgow traditionally was one of the biggest shipbuilding ports in the world. Glasgow built the ships which built the British Empire. And also traditionally a very powerful, in the 20th century, a very powerful communist tradition in Glasgow. Glasgow voted yes to independence. A little further over, Edinburgh. Edinburgh is the capital of Scotland. Glasgow is the biggest city, but Edinburgh is the capital. So the people in Glasgow are not so happy about that. And Edinburgh voted no. So a certain conflict there. Edinburgh is the cultural, probably the cultural capital. Okay, next. Next, please. Yeah, so of course, Scotland is famous for its landscapes. Lots of green, lots of rain. And also the very quickly changing weather. It rains for half an hour, and then it is sunny for half an hour, and then it's misty for half an hour. It changes very, very quickly. It's very impressive. Next, please. This is Loch Ness. This is Loch Ness. The big lakes are, of course, very popular for tourists. This is a photograph I took of Loch Ness. And in fact, the Loch Ness monster was there, but it's just outside the picture, just here. Next, please. But there is the official picture of the Loch Ness monster. And if you go to Loch Ness, you can, as a tourist, then you can go to this wonderful place. Next, please. Oh yes, that's the Loch Ness. And next again. Loch Ness. Okay, so very beautiful countryside. Next. The Loch Ness Centre, which is a big museum about the Loch Ness Monster. And hundreds of thousands of people come every year. So that's good. That's good marketing. Yeah, to get so many people to come to see a monster which doesn't exist. I'm sorry, I have bad news for you. Yeah, the monster does not exist. Okay. And in here you have the history of all the scientists who have tried to look for the monster but have not found it yet. Next, please. One of the big important characteristics of Scotland is that the religion, the most important religion, is different. That is to say, perhaps you know that in England, the most important church, the biggest church, is the Church of England, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, which is a very flexible church with a lot of different ideas inside the same church. And the Church of England is interesting because I think 20% of the priests in the Church of England are women. Yeah, you have women priests in the Church of England, about 20%. So that's very very modern. And in Scotland, the Church of Scotland is a Presbyterian church. Now, Presbyterian, presbyter, ça veut dire comité. Ça veut dire qu'il n'y a pas des évêques, il n'y a pas d'évêques, et il y a des comités dans chaque ville. Okay, so it appears to be more democratic. This is a slightly difficult idea because most people in religions are not normally looking for a democratic religion, because the idea of religion is that the boss is God, not the people. Yeah, so it's not like politics. It's very different. But the Presbyterian Church is the most important one, and here you can see a meeting between the Pope, of course, the head of the Catholic Church, and the head of the Church of Scotland. And you can see he's dressed much more simply. The Scottish churches are very simple, not a lot of gold, no, not a lot of music, no. A very simple and quite strict, very, very anti-alcohol. Now, of course, in Scotland, like in other places, religion is not as influential as it was 50 years ago. But you still see some quite strict people on religion in Scotland. My cousin lives in Scotland, another cousin lives in Scotland. And one day she received a parcel from the postman on a Saturday for her neighbour. Her neighbour was not in, so they left her the parcel. And on Sunday morning, she went and knocked on the door, said, "I have this parcel for you." And her neighbour said, "Tomorrow that will be fine." Yeah, because we do nothing, no work on a Sunday, including not accepting a parcel on a Sunday. So quite a strict, traditional religious. It's not common, but in England you don't really see this, but it can happen in Scotland. Next, please. Of course, one of the important symbols of Scotland is the bagpipes. And here you have a couple of players of the Highland bagpipes. Now, the Scottish were very involved in building the British Empire. Many Scottish people went to Africa, to India, to colonise with the English, perhaps even more percentage-wise than the English. And one of the results is that Scottish culture was spread around the world. Next, please. Here you have a Scottish pipe and drum band from New York. Scottish band from New York. Next, please. And when I was in Glasgow, there was a big bagpipe festival, and I saw these people. Je sais pas si vous voyez mais il y en a aucun qui est blanc. And so I thought, Scottish pipe bands, and I went to talk to them. I said, "Oh, where are you from?" And most of them didn't speak English, but one of them did, and they were a Scottish pipe band from Pakistan. Okay, and so the Scottish culture is quite popular, has some popularity in all the countries where the empire used to colonize. So that's quite interesting, isn't it? You're being in Pakistan and making a Scottish pipe band and going to Scotland to play your bagpipes. This is some of the mixes of identities and cultural practices which is possible in the 21st century. Next, please. This is another one, again, from New York. And, of course, they are wearing the kilts. Next, please. That's just the Scottish flag. That's the flag of St. Andrew. The patron saint of Scotland is St. Andrew. And the reason the flag has a diagonal cross is that, according to the story... Vous connaissez l'histoire de Saint-André? À part moi, qui a eu une éducation religieuse? Ah, de moins en moins. Chaque année, c'est un peu moins. Ok, c'est vrai. Il y a 10 ans, il y avait la moitié de ça. Bon, je vous explique. Saint Andrew was crucified on a diagonal cross because he said, "I don't want to be crucified on a vertical cross because I don't want to do the same. Be treated in the same way as Jesus Christ." C'est de la classe, ça, comme réaction. Hein? Quelqu'un est crucifié, autant avoir de la classe. Ok, next please. Now, this is the song which is... this is the song which is the informal Scottish national anthem, O Flower of Scotland. And I'm going to see if I can play it to you. I have it on the computer. See if it works. Take that out and put that in. C'est pas sûr que ça marche, mais peut-être. Alors je baisse d'abord, je lance, et on verra. Okay, so this song is about a war between the English and the Scottish, and this this song is about a war between the English and the Scottish, and this particular war, the Scottish won. And King Edward from England was obliged to go home again. And the song speaks about the young people who fought for Scotland. Yeah, the flower of Scotland, the best young people. Yeah, O flower of Scotland, O young people of Scotland, when will we see people like you again? You fought and you died for your small hill and glen, valley. And you stood against him, proud Edward's army, and you sent him home. So this is the informal national anthem of Scotland. Next, please. Of course, the national dress is the kilt. Now, most men do not wear, or women indeed, do not wear kilts every day. But if you stand in a railway station in Scotland, every hour you will see two or three kilts. They still exist. But where you will see a lot of kilts is that people wear a kilt to get married, for Hogmanay, the New Year festival, so for special parties. But that's interesting because in Europe, almost all regional dress has disappeared. Yeah. If you live in Lille, or you live in Brittany, or you live in Agen, or in Marseille, people are dressed in the same way. Regional dress has almost completely disappeared, and the kilt has survived better than most. Next, please. There you go again. There's as well as clothing, also has survived national sports. This is a national sport. It's called tossing the cabre. Donc le lancer du tronc d'arbre. Fallait y penser. This and a series of other sports. If you go to Scotland in the summer, every week in a different town there will be traditional Scottish sports, Highland sports. Next, please. There he is, tossing the cabre again. Okay, now there is a very important question about language. Here you have the sign, one way, sens unique. Unford, it also means sens unique in another language, in Gaelic. In Gaelic. All of the signposts in Scotland are in two languages, in English and in Gaelic. But in fact, only perhaps 3% or 4% of Scottish people speak Gaelic. You know, almost everybody speaks English, and only English. So why are all the signs in two languages? Sorry? Ils essaient de rendre le Gaelic populaire. C'est une bonne idée, mais je ne crois pas. C'est une bonne idée. Yeah, I think that that would be... That would be an unusual way to do it, yeah. It'd be more. It'd be a better idea to teach Gaelic in schools, for example. Yeah. Yes? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. To show the difference, it's a symbol. That is to say that nearly everybody in Scotland does not speak Gaelic, but they want Gaelic to be visible. Yeah, they want Scottishness. It's a question of identity. That from a practical point of view, Scottish people don't speak Gaelic and they are not learning Gaelic. But from a symbolic point of view, having Gaelic visible is important to people, and that's the reason. So up there you have a police station, Stesian Poivis. And here you have one way. Next, please. What does that mean? Yeah? Yeah, post office. Notice that in this case, it is not in English and Gaelic. It's only in Gaelic. Next, please. Some more. Town centre. Meathana baila. Okay. You can see that the language is very, very different. Next, please. Now, as well as Gaelic, some Scots people, or more Scots people, speak Scots. And Scots is a dialect which is close to English. And so, very often, English people can understand Scots, but don't speak it. So, for example, yes. In Scots is aye. Aye is yes. It's not a variation on English. It's a very, very old dialect. And English is also a very, very old dialect. They are two branches of the same language. And this particular example is the Ten Commandments, les Dix Commandements, que vous connaissez par cœur, bien sûr, from the Bible. Yeah, serve me and me alone. Yeah, vous me servez, vous m'obéirez et seulement à moi. Take no heed of the other idols. Yeah, take in English, take no heed of other idols. Yeah, vous ne, j'ai oublié. You will not worship other gods, other idols. Honor my name, I respect the name of the Lord your God. Ne working on the Sabbath. Yeah, vous n'allez pas travailler le jour du Seigneur. Love your father and mother. Ne murdering, ne thieving, ne lying. Stick fast to your own partner. Yeah. Yeah, vous ne convoiterez pas la femme de votre voisin. Yeah, etc. Okay. It's kind of supposed to be a little humorous, but it does show the dialect. Next, please. Right. Now, je vais juste augmenter un tout petit peu le volume. Parce que je l'entends pas. Okay, so let's now look, that was just the symbols, and I now want to look a little bit at Scottish society. And the first thing to say is that on average, the people of Scotland are not so rich as people in England. For example, there are twice as many people living in council houses in Scotland than in England. Let me explain that, yeah. A council house is what you call in French an HLM. And the percentage of people in Scotland living in a council house is double the number in England. So that shows that they don't have as much money. Yeah, it's a more... And life expectancy, yeah, how long will you live? People in Scotland live 2 years less on average than people in England. So it's a little poorer than England as a place. It has a number of differences with England which encourage national identity. First of all, the education system is different. The exams that people take in England are not the same as the exams people take in Scotland. In England, perhaps you know, in England, GCSEs and A-levels are the most important diplomas that you take when you are 16 years old and 18 years old. In Scotland, they take diplomas called Highers. Yeah. So it's a different system. The university is different. In Britain, I think this is changing in Scotland, but in Britain you do a university degree in 3 years, like in France. In Scotland it's 4 years. The education system in Scotland is more centralised. In Britain, many schools, I'm talking about state schools, je parle seulement des écoles publiques, but in Britain many of the state schools are managed independently. The government does not decide what happens. The government gives the money for the school, but the management is independent. Whereas in Scotland, they are more centralised. And the other very big, important difference is if you live in London or Manchester or Leeds and you want to go to university, you have to pay, just one moment, you have to pay €12,000 every year. Les droits d'inscription, c'est à 12 000 euros actuellement. And in Scotland, how much do you pay in Scotland? Nothing. That's an important difference. Yes?
I didn't get when you explained, is it Britain's education system that is more centralised?
No, Scotland. Scotland is more centralised. Oh, why? Oof. I don't know why.
I didn't understand when you explained.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that you know, in France, the schools are very centralised. The minister decides, and the same things happens in every school. In England, this is not the case. More and more in England, the government gives the money to the school. You have 500 children. Here's the money. But the school is independently managed. That many things are decided by the head of the school. Whereas in the Scottish system is more like the French system. It's more centralised. So, a different education system. Number two, a different legal system. In England, if you are accused of murder, let's find somebody who looks like a murderer. Yes, if you are accused of murder, then in England, you have 12 people who must decide, the jury. They must decide, is she guilty or innocent? And normally, you must have a unanimous verdict. 12 people say guilty, or 12 people say innocent. That's the English system. In Scotland, you have 15 people on the jury, but only 8 people need to decide you're guilty. A majority is sufficient. So a completely different legal system. But even more important, in Scotland, which is a complete exception, in England and France, if you're accused of murder, the result is guilty or not guilty. In Scotland, there are 3 possibilities. Guilty, not guilty, or not proven. Coupable, pas coupable, ou pas prouvé. So this is very exceptional. I think every country in Europe except Scotland has guilty or not guilty. And so guilty, not guilty, or not proven is a very exceptional system. And finally, yes? Non, parce qu'un non-lieu, c'est un non-lieu, c'est avant le procès. C'est avant le procès. C'est pas de procès, pas besoin. Un non-lieu. C'est not quite the same thing. But good idea. And finally, I already mentioned to you that the religion is different. The Scottish Church is different. Now, the history of the Scottish Church. And the English Church has sometimes been quite violent. During the Reformation, well, after the Reformation, après la Réforme, the English Church wanted to stabilize the religion, and they really wanted the same religion in England and in Scotland. Whereas in Scotland, they had no bishops, ils n'avaient pas d'évêques. They had these committees instead. And so the British Church said, right, we are going to change the system. In Scotland, you must have bishops. And there was a war between England and Scotland called the First Bishops' War. La première guerre des évêques. Il y avait une guerre entre l'Angleterre et l'Écosse parce que l'Angleterre voulait imposer sa religion sur les Écossais. And this is just before the war when this gentleman came from England to say, from now on, in Scotland, you must have the same religious structures as we have in England. And you can see there's a lady here who took a chair and threw it in the church and threw it at the bishop. It's a true story. And she's a Scottish national hero because she threw a chair at the bishop in the cathedral. Okay, of course, today religion is not as powerful as it was before. The Church of Scotland is the biggest church in Scotland. Number two is the Catholic Church. There are a lot of Catholics in Scotland. And number three is Islam. And number four is Sikhs. Next, please. The Presbyterian Church. So this is a Church of Scotland church. You can see, look at it, you can tell. When you look at it, you know it's not a Catholic church. It's not pretty enough. Pas de vitraux. Pas de statues. Yeah? Very, very simple. Very, very simple and straightforward. And the Scottish Church was always very strong against decoration and excessive ceremony. And if you remember the picture of the Pope and the head of the Scottish Church, the head of the Scottish Church was in black and white. Whereas, of course, the Catholic bishops are purple and blue and lots of colours. Next, please. The traditional hero of the Scottish Church is John Knox. John Knox was the leader of the Reformation in Scotland. And if you go to Edinburgh, you can go to his house. This is John Knox's house, which tells you the story of him. Next, please. And this is one of the writings of John Knox. This is one of his books called The First Book of Discipline. C'est un dirigeant religieux qui a écrit un livre, le premier livre de discipline. Donc vous voyez un peu le genre de religion dont il s'agit, assez strict. Let idolatry with all monuments and places of the same as abbeys, monasteries, friaries, nunneries, chapels, chantries, cathedrals, kirks, canonries and all others that are presently carried kirks and schools be utterly suppressed. So this is the moment when he wants any traditional buildings of the church to be destroyed. In this enormous renewal of religion across the whole of Europe, called the Reformation, which you remember, but you will hear a lot about in your first year at the English department, first year classes. Next, please. There are in Scotland today very often conflicts between Catholics and Protestants. And in particular, Catholics are often badly treated. For example, in Glasgow, the two big football teams are Rangers for the Protestants and Celtic for the Catholics. Two big football teams, one for the Catholics, one for the Protestants. So you can see that is a sign of tension, a lot of tension. And this is a story because one day, the Protestant team recruited one Catholic player. You know, all of their players were Protestants, and they recruited one Catholic. And many Catholics were very angry that a Catholic would go and play for the enemy. And so this T-shirt has the Catholic player going to confession, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." So the Catholic player has gone to the Pope and said, "I'm so sorry. I have sinned, j'ai péché, I have joined the Protestant team." And the Pope says, "J'allais vous envoyer en enfer, mais je vois que vous y êtes déjà, alors va te faire foutre." Yeah? Okay, that's the Pope. Yeah? Okay, so of course it's a joke, but it shows, it's not that funny. Yeah? It shows a lot of very strong tension between Catholics and Protestants. Sometimes if you go to a football match in Scotland, you can hear, if you're, just one moment, you can hear the Protestants singing songs, "We want to kill Catholics." Yeah?
I have sinned.
J'ai péché. I have sinned. J'ai péché. Ah oui, vous avez raison, en fait, c'est un jeu de mots. Normalement, quand on va à la confession, comme vous le savez, je crois, on dit « pardonnez-moi mon père parce que j'ai péché ». Et donc ça, c'est la forme classique, mais effectivement, là, je ne voyais pas d'ici, il a écrit « pardonnez-moi mon père parce que j'ai signé le contrat pour le… » Donc c'est un jeu de mots, le contrat. Bien vu. Il faudrait que je vienne avec mes lunettes. Listen, I have more things to tell you about Scotland, but I think that's enough for today. Thank you for listening.